Praise the Lord, everyone.
Praise the Lord.
It's good to see all of you here tonight. Praise God. Well, we have yet another cold day, don't we? It sure has been a cold snap. Well, I think this is day three or is it four now? That really, really cold weather. It's starting to feel like we live in the Arctic. And it's really amazing because it's something that's happening in a lot of the country right now. In fact, they had snow in Florida. So it's colder there too, and I know I have some friends down there. It was 45 degrees and they were freezing. So, but praise God, we're safe, we're here. It's a nice warm building and it's wonderful that we can come together and gather and praise the Lord. So we are going to open with a prayer before we do anything. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this night, thanking thee for thy goodness, thanking thee that thou hast brought us here, thanking thee for this place, thanking thee, O God, for this warm building and this working furnace. We thank thee, O God, for all that thou hast blessed us with. And I pray, O God, that thy spirit would be here. I pray that thy Holy Ghost would be upon each and every one of us. Inspire us this night to worship thee in spirit and in truth. I pray, O God, that we would all reach out to thee, that we would all draw nigh to thee. I pray, O God, that thou preside over this entire service. Anoint this entire service. Let everything we do here tonight be done according to thy perfect will and thy perfect plan. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, to the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to start with number 141 in the chorus book tonight. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Number 141. Turn now to number 5 and sing Something Beautiful, Something Good. Number 5. brokenness and strife, but He made something very beautiful of my life. Praise the Turn now to number 106 and sing "He Is My Everything," number 106. Turn now to number 72 and sing "For He Is Lord," number 72. Thank you. we're going to turn now to number 130 and sing He's My Lord and My God, number 130. Check this. Praise God. I need to look up the number, but there's another chorus that comes to mind. Praise the Lord. He's the Lord of glory. Number 68. Praise God. Number 68.
Thank you.
yes, He is the Lord of all. He is King of kings and Lord of lords, and there is none greater than our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Well, we're going to take a little pause here. I know Diane has a testimony she'd like to share, so we'll have her do that now.
It's remarkable how much better it's gotten. He's really surprised, really, really stunned about it. So must be doing pretty well. So I'm very thankful for that. He said, well, keep doing whatever you're doing. It's working. And I thought, well, that's not me. I said, I have people praying. And he said, oh, that'll work. So I thought, well, praise the Lord for that.
Oh, praise the Lord.
But he did dilate the eyes, and they're not back to normal yet. So if I'm squinting at you or not looking at you, the lights are really, really bright in my eyes right now.
Well, we'll keep praying that your eyes get better and better. Praise
the
Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Glory to God. Well, we are going to take up the collection now. Praise the Lord. Father in heaven, we thank Thee this night for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We thank Thee, O God, for Thy many abundant blessings that Thou hast poured out. And I pray, O God, that Thou will continue to lead, guide, and direct us in all things. Give us Thy great wisdom on how these funds should be used for Thy purpose, for Thy glory, for the cause of Thy mighty name. I pray, O God, that Thou would help us, inspire us to be good stewards of what Thou hast given us. For we know that all that Thou hast given us to care for really belongs to Thee, and we pray, O God, that we would glorify Thee in each and everything that we do. I pray, O God, that Thou would bless the givers here this night, and also bless those who are unable to give. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, to the power of Thy saving blood. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to pray about a couple of things. I did receive a call yesterday, and Carol's husband, Ken, did pass on, and it's been very difficult for Carol in recent days. She's had that fall and those injuries, and I'm sure it's been a struggle. And some of you may remember Ken. He used to come here a long, long time ago, and then his Alzheimer's got a little worse and couldn't really be here with us anymore, but he did go home, and we're going to pray for Carol that the Lord will be with her and help her throughout these trying times. I know it's been so much that's happened to her in recent weeks, and I'm sure she could use some prayer. And we're also going to pray for Vicki Wolf. She's been going through quite a struggle, too. Her furnace went out, and it's been very, very cold, so that's sounds like a horrible ordeal in itself, but then her back also went out, and she has the flu, apparently. So Vicki Wolf could also use our prayers. We're going to pray for her as well. Father in heaven, we come before Thee in prayer this night on behalf of Carol, praying, O God, that Thou would reach down from heaven, comfort her and strengthen her, we pray. We ask, O God, that Thou would be with her, that Thou would hold her hand, that Thou would give her Thy strength to overcome every obstacle and every challenge in these trying days. I pray, O God, that she would be completely healed from all of these injuries. I pray, O God, that Thou would touch her with Thy healing and mighty hand. I pray that she would be restored and made 100% whole. I pray, O God, that Thou would help her in this time of sadness as she says goodbye to her husband, for we know, oh God, what a challenge and a difficult thing that is. But we pray, oh God, that Thou would be with her, help her, comfort her, strengthen her, we pray, and let her feel Thy touch even now, right now. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. And Father in heaven, we also come before Thee in prayer this night on behalf of Vicki Wolf, praying, oh God, that Thou would give her strength, praying, oh God, that Thou would help her to reach out to Thee, to draw nigh to Thee, to seek Thee with a whole heart. For we know in Thee we find strength, and in Thee we find the ability to do the things we need to do. And I pray, oh God, that Thou would help her with all of these challenges that she is facing today. I pray, oh God, that she would have a speedy recovery from her back problems, from this flu. I pray that she would be made every whit whole from that. And I pray, oh God, that any problems with the furnace would be worked out and repaired and quickly so, we pray. And we ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, we're going to sing one more chorus before we turn it over to Shirley for the night. And we're going to go to number 157 in the chorus book. Open Our Eyes, Lord, number 157.
Out and touch Him.
we're going to turn it over to Shirley and see what the Lord has laid on her heart.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord.
Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise God. It is good to be here tonight. I'm just glad the Lord made it possible for us to be here. You know, I was talking to one of our contacts, I guess yesterday, and he's in Indiana. And I just couldn't believe it. They have a cold snap there, too, and it was like in the teens, and he didn't have a furnace. And, oh, boy, he had the oven running continuously, and then the landlord gave him a heater that was, you know, that he could put in a room. But, you know, I just think, you know, how privileged we are. You know, the furnace goes out, and this time of year, we're you know, very, very cold. It's very difficult. But, you know, God has blessed us in so many ways. And, you know, it is a privilege to be here tonight. You know, the doors are still open. We still have this opportunity. You know, the world may be going amok and all kinds of crazy things, and God only knows what tomorrow may hold. But we're here. You know, He gave us this opportunity. And you know, we can draw nigh to God tonight. We can open up His Word. We've been worshiping Him and praise the Lord for it. You know, there's so many people that long for these opportunities, that, oh, wish with all their hearts, desire with their hearts, that they could have fellowship, and, you know, that they could open up the Word with somebody, and you know, be taught, and, you know, we are privileged. God has blessed us in this way, and, you know, it's just all His doings and all His ways. And just thank God He has opened up our eyes and understanding that we even have this desire to be here tonight, to fellowship and to know Him, and praise the Lord. But I just thank the Lord, and we're just going to go to Him in prayer right now and ask Him to be here. Praise the Lord. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank You again, Lord, for this opportunity, this place, this fellowship, Lord. Oh God, these times, oh Lord, where we could, oh, put our hearts and minds toward Thee, Lord, oh God, and just forget about the other things, oh Lord, oh God. And I pray, oh Lord, that You would help us here, that You'd cause us, oh Lord, to draw nigh to Thee, get to that place where You'd have us to be, Lord. Help us, oh Lord, to have our minds completely on Thee, Lord Jesus. We just thank You, Lord, that You're with us. Oh God, believing that You're going to be with Your people. Thank You for Diane's good report. And oh Lord, I just pray that You give great victory to Your people. Lord, that You give us faith in these end times. Oh Lord, that we might believe You. Lord, that we might go forward. Oh God, oh Lord, that we might do Thy will and be found as a faithful servant. Oh Lord, seeking You and living for You and doing Your will, Lord. Oh God, we just ask that You'd use these words here tonight. Oh Lord, that You would anoint. Oh Lord, and that You'd be here, Lord, and that You'd help all of us. Oh Lord, our precious loved ones, oh Lord, and those online, God. And I just pray, oh Lord, that You would, oh God, open up our vision, open up our eyesight, oh God. Oh God, give us that kind of mind that could perceive the good things of God, Lord. This word would have recourse, and oh Lord, that You would move in Jesus' name, Lord. Oh God, for surely I know I could do nothing without You, Lord. I pray that You'd be here in this place, Lord. Oh God, that Your presence would come down. Oh God, that healing virtue would flow, Lord. Oh God, that You would help us, Lord, to completely turn our eyes upon Thee, Lord. Oh, look full in Thy wonderful face, Lord. Oh God, to perceive the things, oh Lord, that You have for us, Lord, and to forget, oh Lord, those things that are temporary, Lord. Oh God, those things that are fleeting, those things that are soon to vanish. Oh Lord, help us to get our minds on Thee. Oh God, I come against all the trivial things of this world, oh Lord, that try to pester us and hinder us, Lord. I pray, oh God, that You'd help us here tonight, Lord, that You'd bind the strong man and everything, oh God, that would come up to oppose us, Lord. I pray that You'd give us eyes of faith, Lord, to comprehend all those things that are heavenly, those things that are spiritual. We thank you and praise you in the name of Jesus. Oh God, taking authority, oh God, over the prince of the air, and oh God, all the trouble, oh Lord, in this world, oh God. And believe it, oh Lord, that you are here to make a way and to intervene in our lives. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Our God is so good. Praise the Lord. We're going to call this message, and if you want to shorten it, you may, but we're going to call it, Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Praise the Lord. And with that, we're going to be turning to James, the first chapter. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Yes, turning to the first chapter of James. I love this little short epistle. James, who was actually, we believe, the stepbrother of Jesus Christ. And you know also, it seemed that in the 15th chapter of Acts, he was pretty much had the oversight at the church there in Jerusalem. And you know, I know one thing, God majorly used this man. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. So here we go, here in the first verse here, James chapter 1. Praise the Lord. James, a servant of God, and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. So that very brief introductory greeting there. And then he says in verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Well, I'm just going to stop here a minute and good to talk about that word temptation here a moment. And, you know, it has a very broad interpretation. There's different ways that it can be used. One of the best ways to think of this word is to test. But also it can mean an endeavor. It can mean to scrutinize, to entice, to discipline, to assay, to examine, to go about, to prove, to tempt, to try. And, you know, we know, we're going to continue this chapter, we know that, you know, we should never say that, you know, that if we're tempted, we're tempted of God, in that sense, enticed. And we'll go into that in a bit. But here, you know, James is writing to those that were scattered abroad, his brethren, that there was a need to count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. And this may sound a little bit peculiar because, you know, if we use this word temptation here as meaning a trial or a test, and I believe that would be the right appropriate connotation here, then, you know, it seems hard that we would count it as joy. But there's something that comes out of tests and trials and of these kind of diverse temptations. And the third verse reveals, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Now I'll tell you what, that word patience is not something that is easily attained. You know, I remember just thinking, you know, I guess I've been told maybe that I was a pretty patient person, but I found out when I had children, became a mother, that my patience was severely tested at times, and I wasn't so sure anymore just how patient I really was. But praise the Lord, you know, there is something about the Lord working on us. If, you know, we come to the Lord as a new babe, you know, and we come as we are initially to God, but oh boy, there's a lot of changes that have to take place in our lives. You know, I mean, you know, if, you know, we give birth to a baby and, you know, it doesn't, you know, it stays a baby for the rest of its life. I mean, oh, it'd be very hard. you know, and we all look forward to, with a child, to see growth. And you know, we mark those little things. So yeah, they did this, they did that, you know, and all those things are stepping stones. And, you know, it all makes a difference. It's all a part of that child's development. But you know, as Christians too, you know, we come, as I said, to the Lord as a new person in Christ. And you know, He begins to work on us. He begins to develop us. He begins to change us. You know, and it's sad to say, there are some people that come to the Lord and make a good start, and all at once, you know, they put on the brakes. And they don't grow. They don't mature. They don't come to that place that the Lord would have them to be at. And this isn't good. But the Lord does do things to help us. And one of the things that He uses is the trying of our faith. And again, you know, it might seem strange, but then God's ways are not our ways anyway. We know that, you know, His ways are higher than our ways. And we can't always understand what God is doing or why He's doing things. I mean, there's a lot of times where it's just really blank as far as what's really going on. But praise the Lord is working in us. If we've truly given our hearts to the Lord and we're striving to get closer to the Lord and we're spending that time with Him, we're spending that time in His Word, we're spending that time in church, when it's, you know, when there's a place, and you know, we're spending that time in His Word and you know, witnessing to people and trying to do the things to strive for the mastery and all the things, you know, giving that day to the Lord, every day to the Lord, and asking Him to help us. Oh yes, to mold us, to shape us, to make us what we ought to be in the Lord. And so He uses those things. A lot of times it's trials. It may be sickness, you know. It can be infirmity and all kinds of things, you know. Oh, maybe, you know, the sickness of a loved one, or you know, having a loved one that really isn't serving the Lord, and we have to give it all over to the Lord because, you know, somebody isn't serving Christ. They're on a contrary road. But praise the Lord knows how to develop us and how to change us and how to get us to that place where we can mature in the Lord. Now just a minute, I'll come me back to James. But here in Romans, the 5th chapter, Romans 5, looking at verse 6. Well, no, I better not. Let's go a little before that. Let's just look at verse 3 here. It says, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." So here it says, again, you know, the chapter starts by telling us that we've been justified by faith, that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, and by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. But, you know, it goes beyond that. It goes beyond that, because here it also is talking about glorying in trials, in tribulations, in those hard things, glorying in them. Because that's going to develop us. That's going to make us stronger. Oh, that's going to take us to the end that we need so desperately to attain to. Yes, because tribulation worketh that word patience again. And patience gives us experience. Experience gives us hope. And that hope that He puts in our heart makes us not ashamed, because we know that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So you see how the Lord uses all these things to make us what we ought to be in the Lord. Tribulation, working patience, and patience, experience and experience hope. Hope making, not ashamed. So going back here to James, the first chapter, it tells us that the trying of our faith work in patience. And then verse 4 says, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Yes, it works in us, just as I've been saying, that, you know, we may get to that place in Christ where we can actually be mature, where we can actually be perfect in the eyes of God, and entire, complete in the Lord. And what a blessing that is. You know, patience is such a virtue. And you know, it's not a surprise that Jesus even said in the 21st chapter of Luke, in your patience possess ye your souls. And you know, he's bringing out this chapter in the midst of the time when he's talking of great trouble. He's talking of tribulation, even the great tribulation at the end of the world. And I don't know what tomorrow may hold. I don't know what we're going to have to endure in this world yet. But I know one thing, we have to hang on to patience. That patient waiting for our Lord and knowing that his promises are yea and amen. And what he has declared that he will do. That hope that is within us. That we know that he is coming again. And you know, he's not going to give us more than we are able to bear, but he's going to help us with those temptations to make a way of escape that we may also be able to bear it. We've got to hold that firm in our heart and realize that God is able. He's begun a work in us and he's able to complete it. But we have to give it all over to the Lord and allow him to work in us. Oh yes, that patience would have her perfect work. You know, it is a straight and narrow way. It is not an easy walk with the Lord. You know, Jesus himself said, in this world ye shall have tribulation. But he said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And praise the Lord, through his Spirit, we also can overcome the world. So he knows how to lift up our spirits. He knows how to give us hope. He knows, oh yes, how to give us faith so that we can stand against the wiles of the devil. We can prevail against the trials and the tests of this time and those in our lifetime. Oh yes, that we can stand fast in the midst of moments where things are cloudy and blurry and unsure, and yet we can hold fast to the truth that is in God's word and his special promises. So praise the Lord, we are told here, let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And truly, when we stand before God, that's how we want to be. We want to be perfect and entire and wanting nothing. And then he tells us in verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. And thank the Lord. And you know, I don't think it's just wisdom that we can ask him for. You know, it's all the things that we need, all the attributes that we need. You know, we need more faith, we need more hope, we need more patience. We can ask the Lord for all of those attributes. And praise the Lord, he gives to all of his children liberally, generously, in other words, in this context. And it says he upbraideth not. That means he doesn't scold or rebuke because you've asked him for those things that you have need of. And it's very positive here. It says, it shall be given him. Praise the Lord. That's pretty affirmative. That's pretty sure, you know. We ask him in faith. Oh yes, because it continues to say here, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Oh, we've all watched the waves at some point, and we know how, yes, especially when it's stormy, how they can toss and turn and churn. And, oh yes, be almost scary, or maybe definitely scary. But You know, that comparison is made to those that doubt. Oh, yes, might ask God for something, but, you know, it's back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, like you're tottering between two opinions. God is not pleased with that. He wants us to ask and believe that what we have asked, He will do. So it says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. And it explains in verse 7, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. I'll tell you what, that is often the reason why people don't receive the things that they ask of. Because their faith is wavering, it's back and forth, you know. Well, you know, if this doesn't work, well, then I'll do that, you know. Well, I've got this other option, you know. So it's a toss, you know, and you know, it's instability at that point. And, you know, it tells us here, if that's the way you're reacting, don't you think that you're going to receive it all? It says, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. And then it explains, verse 8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And, oh, we certainly don't want to be double-minded. God wants us to serve Him with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul, and all our strength. He wants us to go forward. He wants us to put Him first before everything else. And, you know, not looking back. And not, you know, drawing towards some other plan. And, you know, not thinking, oh my, you know, if this doesn't happen, well then I'm just going to give up. Oh, God forbid that we would ever be double-minded. Oh, praise the Lord, we know that Jesus said that no man can serve two masters. He's either going to hate the one and love the other, or hold to the one, despise the other. Oh, yes, you can't serve God and mammon. And here it explains so clearly, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Then it goes on to explain in verse 9, let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as a flower of the grass, he shall pass away. And you know, it's really something. The Lord takes those things that are low and lifts them up. But those things that are high, He brings down. And because, I'll tell you what, if one is lifted up in pride, and in, you know, self-esteem that's, you know, above and beyond, and thinking of oneself more than one should think, God has to bring that kind of concept down, that kind of thinking down, in order for a person to humble himself under the mighty hand of God, that they might be exalted in due time. We have to come to the Lord in humility and realizing that there is none other that we can turn to. There is no other Savior, that there is no other Deliverer. We have to come to Him in faith and come as a child, just knowing that, oh, we have great needs and that we can look to no other. And that it's not of ourselves, it's not of any of our works that we could ever boast of, but it's because of Him. You know, He takes us, oh and oh my, no matter how mighty or wise or strong a person might think they are of themselves, you know, God sees it completely different. Oh, completely differently. God sees a person as they really are, as we really are as individuals. And there is nothing that is hidden inside. There's nothing that He doesn't know. He knows the hidden things that are deep in the heart. But praise the Lord. The Lord has a way of moving in our lives and changing us. And here it says, let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as a flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but But it withereth, the grass and the flower thereof falleth, and the grass, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Oh, we all know that this life here is very temporary. Oh, yes, as it says in Psalms 90, teach us to number our days. Oh, yes, we're only here for a season. Our life is as a tale that is told, you know. Oh, yes, it's like, you know, we're young one moment and old the next. And, you know, truly, as it says in the fourth chapter of James, our life is even but a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. It's, you know, we're here just for a very brief moment of time. Oh yes, in the realm of time, our lifespan is very short. But how important it is that we would give it over to the Lord. Oh yes, that we would turn our life over to the Lord. Because yes, that's right. It's all going to pass away. Everything that is on this earth is going to vanish one of these days. It's only the things that are embedded in God that are going to endure and last. And praise the Lord, it's only the things that we've done for the Lord that are going to endure. I thank God that we have this opportunity. Yes, because yes, oh yes, the grass, the flower, it all falleth. Grace of it perisheth, you know, it's but for a short duration. And also it says the rich man will fade away in his ways. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. But then it goes on in verse 12 to say, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Praise the Lord, there's that text that I took from this message here tonight. Blessed is the man that endureth temptations. And here I believe that word temptation is implying the trials and the tests and all the things that come upon us in this world. But praise the Lord, we know that, yes, when we are tried, if we can forbear, if we can endure that test, that trial, we could get through it in the name of Jesus Christ. There's going to be a glorious end. There's going to be a very happy end. He says, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Oh, I thank God for those wonderful promises that he's given us. Praise the Lord. Oh, I thank God that he made a way that we could endure temptations. Just going to Luke for a brief time here, just for a moment here. We look at Luke 8. We realize that Jesus is telling the parable of the sower in this chapter, Luke 8. And it's so interesting here, you know, he's interpreting it. In the 11th verse here, he's already told the parable, but he's interpreting it in verse 11, and he says, now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. And that's never nice to see, and I know it happens actually time and time again, I'm afraid, but you know, there's many people that, you know, the seed is given to them, the word of God is given to them, but before it can take root and grow and bear any fruit, the devil comes to take it away out of their hearts. He snatches it, lest they should believe and be saved. And then there are those in verse 13, they on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe and in time of temptation fall away. So here is the second kind of seed, those that actually come to the Lord Jesus, but they fall on the rock. And I don't mean Jesus Christ here. In Matthew, the 13th chapter, it says on stony ground. So they fall into a rocky soil condition, and they hear the word with joy at first. But because there are stones that disturb their growth, they don't take root. And, you know, so for a while they believe, but it says in a time of temptation, they fall away. In a time of testing, they fall away. Then he talks about them that fell among thorns, and they are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. So there's a third kind of ground, that in this case there are thorns that prevent that seed from growing well. It initially makes a start. But as, you know, time goes on, that seed is choked with the cares of this life, and the pleasures of this life, the riches of this life, and therefore those things snatch away the growth, and they're not able to grow and mature and to develop. But praise the Lord, he tells us in verse 15, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth with patience. I thank God for that. Oh yes, in Matthew, the 13th chapter, where it talks about this parable, likewise, it explains that those that fall in the stony type of ground, the stony type of soil there in verse 20, it explains that the same as he that heareth the word and anon with joy receiveth it, verse 20 in Matthew 13, yet hath he not rooted himself, but dureth for a while. And then it explains the temptation, for when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. And that's, oh, so sad to see, because, you know, there was, you know, that initial surge of strength, you know, oh, that initial surge of joy when the word was received. But because of trials, of testing, of tribulation, persecution, when that arises because of the word, by and by, that individual is offended. And I'll tell you what, that does happen. That has happened, God knows how many times. And he did warn us, Jesus did warn us that offenses will come. Oh, he did tell us that, oh yes, we have to love him above all else, that we have to seek the kingdom of God foremost and first. Oh yes, beyond that, love of father and mother and brother and sister and son and daughter, oh, above any other circumstance or any other person, that we be not hindered. And, you know, all kinds of things may get in the way. You know, it could happen when you give your life to the Lord that your family may reject you. It could happen. Oh yes, I remember years and years ago this young woman who came and oh, I believe we were having service in our house yet. It must have been that first year. And you know, she somehow heard of us and she came, and she had lived in the area, had married a man in the military and had backslidden in reality. But somehow she found us, and there she rededicated her life to the Lord. And it was a very beautiful thing to see this. But as the weeks went by, I got a knock on my door one day, and here was this young woman at my door, and she said, you know, I'm going to have to leave. She said, you know, since I gave my life back to the Lord, since I rededicated it back to the Lord, my husband doesn't like me anymore. she was just pretty much a newlywed, and you know, he doesn't appreciate this new life that I'm trying to live in Christ, and I'm going to have to leave. And she said, I'm from Texas, and I'm going to go back there, be with my folks. You know, but I'll tell you what, that sometimes happens. You don't always know, you know. We have to count the cost. But I'll tell you what, he's going to reap wonderful dividends if we can only endure until the end, if we can only serve the Lord with all our heart and lay aside all those other things that might try to get in the way and hinder and even cause tribulation or persecution. And many that are offended because of the word, our walk with the Lord, our love for the Lord. But, you know, we can't let those things disturb us or destroy us. We have to continue in walking with the Lord, regardless, even if we have to walk alone. Oh, God knows things happen in this world, but he knows how to give us strength and how to give us hope. Oh, yes, praise the Lord. It is an endurance test. They that endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And it explains in verse 22, he that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Oh, how sad it is. Somebody who made a start for the Lord, and oh yes, as things went on, oh yes, it's getting tougher and tougher. Oh, the cares of life are getting tougher and tougher. Oh man, I don't have time to go to church anymore. Oh my, I don't have time to read my Bible. Oh, I'm so busy, I gotta do this, I gotta do that. Oh yes, if you know, if I don't, this and that, or whatever is gonna happen, or maybe it's just the love of money. Oh, that gets in the way, the deceitfulness of riches, and all at once, oh wow, they're not walking with the Lord. They're not serving the Lord. They're not coming to church. Oh yes, I'm not giving that time to God. Oh yes, because the devil has come, oh yes, as a thorn to choke the word, and so that life becomes unfruitful. But I thank God there are some, oh yes, there are going to be a people, oh yes, that will stand before God with hearts that are right. And oh yes, says, but he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth, oh praise the Lord, some hundredfold, some 60, some 30. But praise the Lord, yes, those are... There are some that hear the word and understand it. Go forth, oh yes, to bear fruit and to bring it forth. Oh yes, so that, oh yes, as I've said so many times, so that when we stand before God, we can have something to give him. Some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. But yes, we don't want to stand before God empty-handed. Oh no, we don't. But praise the Lord, there are those that are of the good ground. Praise the Lord. So continuing here in James, the first chapter. Let no man say in verse 13, when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. And here I'm going to say the word tempted here is talking about the devil's enticement. And we know that Jesus himself was tempted there 40 days in the wilderness of the devil there after he was baptized. Praise the Lord, Jesus endured those temptations. You know, he knew how to say no to the devil and his enticements. Even, you know, sometimes it's pretty tricky. The devil is clever. He's observed mankind for all these years, and he has a lot of schemes and, you know, just a lot of insight into human thinking. And he can come up with reasoning, and sometimes he can even quote scripture, and, you know, sometimes it might be common sense that he might apply. He might take scripture and twist it like he did when he tempted Jesus. Praise the Lord, we have to know our God. We have to know the word. And praise the Lord, we can't allow the enemy to destroy those things that the Lord has put in our hearts. Oh, praise the Lord. So let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. So God is not going to do that. Yes, allows for us to be tried and tested at times. Oh, I'll tell you what, faith can burst forth. You know, God has promised us many things. He has promised to heal us, to help us, to succor us. Oh, yes, to be our good shepherd. He has promised to save us if we will just put our lives into his hands. But he does try at times. He does try, but he doesn't tempt. The devil is the tempter. He is the one that comes to entice. And we can never say that it is God that is tempting us with evil. When it comes to those things that are of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, those things that are of the world, all the evil that is in this world, God would not tempt us with those things. But it explains in verse 14, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Oh, yes, we never want to mess up the Word of God. We don't want to ever, give place to the devil in any way. And here it tells us very clearly that, every man, when he's enticed of the devil, tempted with evil, he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And if we give in to that kind of temptation, that kind of enticement, when that lust hath been conceived, it's going to bring forth sin. The temptation isn't sin of itself, but it's the giving into it. That lust, if it's conceived, is going to bring forth sin. And if we neglect to come to God and ask Him to forgive us, that sin, when it is finished, is going to bring forth death, eternal separation from God, the lake of fire. But praise the Lord, praise the Lord, the Lord knows how to give us strength. In fact, what a price he paid for us. In Hebrews, the fourth chapter, just going here for a moment, it explains in Hebrews 4, verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched through the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Jesus has been through it. He knows what it's like because as God robed in flesh, he came to this world to endure temptations. He came, to withstand the onslaught of the devil in all his cunning, in all his devices. And it tells us here in Hebrews, the fourth chapter, he was tempted in all points like as we are. Praise the Lord, he overcame, yet without sin. Praise the Lord in Jesus' name. He is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Oh, I thank God we can give them to Jesus. Oh, knowing that he's here right now to heal us, to help us. Oh, to make a way for us. We can come to him. Oh, yes, because he is our great high priest that has passed into the heavens. And he is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Oh, we thank you, Jesus, and we praise you, God. We give it all to you, Lord. Oh, God, we know that, Lord, you are here to meet our needs. Thank you, Jesus. But was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin? explains in verse 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, so we can come boldly, oh yes, to the throne of the Almighty One, oh yes, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We can come to Him, oh, directly, oh yes, we don't have to hide, we don't have to be ashamed, we don't have to be shy, we can come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy, find grace to help in time of need. Oh yes, He's here in those times of need. Oh yes. It explains in the second chapter of Hebrews. Also, oh my, such a lot of words here to speak of here. But you know, praise the Lord. Talking of Jesus here. Verse 14, Hebrews, the second chapter. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He Himself likewise took part of the same, that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Praise the Lord! Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. He put on flesh and blood so that, oh yes, He could live in the flesh, but yet have victory, live without sin, so that He might destroy him that hath the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily He took not on Him the nature of angels, but He took on Him the seed of Abraham. Oh, He came to this earth not as an angel, but He came as a human being, the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved Him to be made like unto His brethren, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Oh yes, that's why Jesus came. Oh yes, He came to seek and to save them that were lost. Oh, no wonder John the Baptist could say, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. That's why Jesus came. He came to make reconciliation. Oh yes, so that we could be brought back. Oh yes, so we could come to the Lord and find that place of reconciliation. Praise the Lord. For in that He Himself hath suffered, being tempted, He is able to succor them that are tempted. Oh, praise the Lord. He's able to succor us. That means to help us, to aid us, to rescue us in the time of need, because He Himself, yes, that's why He came, to put on flesh. Oh, yes, to live and to die, or to overcome. Oh, yes, so that we might come to Him. Oh, yes. The great high priest, the one that's able to help us in our time of need, because He Himself has gone through all of those hard things, those hardships, and He knows how to help us. Oh, praise the Lord. He knows how to succor us, how to aid us. Oh, yes, praise the Lord for His mighty works, that ability that He has given to us as a son of God, the daughters of God. Praise the Lord. You know, there's quite the examples in the Word of God, but I think one very striking is the 22nd chapter of Genesis. And we're familiar with this story, but just want to go here for a little bit. There we have Abraham, and you know, Abraham's whole life was quite an amazing thing, because, yes, in spite of the fact that Abraham lived among a wicked people and came from, a background that I'm sure was full of idolatry and everything else, God made Himself known to Abraham. And God put it in Abraham's heart so that he would walk with God, that he would come out of Ur of Chaldea. And yes, as the children of God, we are all to come out of Babylon. We're to come out of the world. We cannot be partakers with the world, with the world system and all of that. Otherwise, we're going to be partakers of our sins and be recipients of our plagues, as it tells us in the 18th chapter of Revelation. It's so important that we come out of Babylon. Oh, yes, it's so important. Oh, yes, that we come out of idolatry and paganism and everything else that relates and pertains to it and give heed to the truth. But God called Abraham out. And Abraham, seems to me, was very submissive and willing to follow God. And here, as a little time had passed, and God had given him that son, Isaac, it tells us in the 22nd chapter of Genesis that it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. Now, I just want to explain that word tempt there means, comes from the Hebrew, nasa, and it means to test. So, as I've said, you know, God is not going to tempt us with evil. But there are times of trials. There are times of testing. And here, God, here he was testing Abraham. And he said unto him, Abraham, and obviously Abraham said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. I'll tell you what, this was no easy thing. In fact, could you imagine anything harder than this? This was his only son. This was the son for which he had waited for all those many years, the promised son. God had assured him that he was going to have a son, and now God is telling him to take his only son, whom he loved so very much, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which God would make known to him. I'll tell you what, this Abraham is an amazing man. It tells us in verse 3, And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass, his donkey in other words, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. I don't see any hesitation. You know, God has told him to do an extremely difficult thing. Oh, something that I don't think I'd ever want to go. Oh, I know I wouldn't want to go through it. But here, we see Abraham. He rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, took two of his young men with him, Isaac his son, clave the wood for the burnt offering. In other words, he split the wood for the burnt offering. He rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. It was a bit of a journey. It says in verse 4, Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. So here it is, and it's all by faith. It says, Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, laid it upon Isaac, his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, I mean, can you imagine how strange this is? Isaac is young. He's called a lad. You know, he's young. He's a boy. And, you know, here it is. It's obvious that they're going to offer some kind of sacrifice, but you know, there's the wood, and you know, there's a fire in Abraham's hand, and a knife in his hand, and you know, how this must have been. Here's Isaac, his son. Isaac spake unto his father, to Abraham, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And Isaac said, Behold the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for the burnt offering? I love Abraham's faith. It tells us in verse 18, Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Oh, there was something in Abraham's heart. He knew that God was going to make a way, that God was going to do something special, that God would not do something that was impossible here. And he was believing, as it tells us, in that 11th chapter of Hebrews, he was believing that God would even raise him up again. If he had to, you know, offer him as a sacrifice. He was believing that God was going to raise him up again. So he said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." So they went, both of them together. Of course, this is a very prophetic utterance too, because Almighty God put on flesh to come to this world as a Lamb of God, to take away the sin of this world, to be a sacrifice, an offering, an atonement for sin. And Abraham was actually prophesying of that day when Jesus would hang on the cross to take away the sin of the world. Then it tells us in verse 9, "And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son." But praise the Lord. It tells us in verse 11, "And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, God said to him, the angel of the Lord, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me." Oh, it was a time of test. It was a trial. God wanted to see how deep Abraham's love was for God. If he loved God above all else, if he would obey the voice of God, even though it wasn't logical, it didn't make sense, it didn't add up, it was an extremely hard thing, oh, something all beyond any of us would want to bear. But God allowed it, at least to that point, to see if he was willing. Oh, we don't know sometimes the things that fall upon us, but it could be a test that God has allowed in our lives to see how much we love him. Oh, yes, how deep that love is in our heart. Oh, yes, how deep our roots go. We're truly anchored on the rock, Christ Jesus. But God made a way for him. And it tells us in verse 13, "And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen." In other words, Jehovah will see. "And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, then in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. Thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." See, it was a time of testing. It was a trial. And I'm so thankful that Abraham was able to do this extremely difficult thing. Oh yes, to make that journey. Yes, to have the wood and the fire, all the preparations made to go to the place that God had called him to go, there on Mount Moriah. But praise the Lord made a way. Oh, because he was testing him, and now he knew that God was first in his life, that God had that place, and that he had not withheld the thing that was most precious to him, his only son. Oh, what a lesson there is in this. You know, we don't always know the things that God may ask us to do, but praise the Lord, if we really love God, we will submit to his calling and to his will. We will obey the voice of God like Abraham did. And because he had this submissive, willing spirit, God was going to bless him. He was going to give him a seed as the stars of the heaven, as the sand of the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemies. You know, I think that is so wonderful because, you know, the children of God, we are that seed. Oh, that was prophesied here. Galatians, the third chapter, it tells us, oh yes, that if we are of faith, we are blessed with faithful Abraham. The third chapter of Galatians, verse 10 says, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith. But the man that doeth them shall live in them. And it says in verse 13 here in Galatians 3, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. Oh yes, God Almighty, oh, put his only beloved Son there on the cross. A thing that was cursed. It says that in Deuteronomy, the 21st chapter, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. But Jesus Christ did that for us because he was taken that curse. He was made a curse for us. Why? It says in verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Oh yes, that we might be sons and daughters. Oh, that blessing of Abraham might come to us. The promise of the Spirit, the promise of the Holy Ghost might come upon us as the children of God. That blessing of Abraham. Oh, that we might be participants in the kingdom of God, that we might be his sons and daughters, that we might be adopted into the family of God, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. He says in verse 15, Paul is writing, brethren, I speak after the manner of man, though it be but a man's covenant, yet, if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and his seeds, with an S as a plural, as of many, but as of one. There was going to be one seed, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Oh, do we see what had happened? Oh, God made that promise to Abraham, that he was going to bless him. He's going to bless his seed as the stars of heaven and as the sand of the seashore. And it says, thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemies. The gates of his enemies. Oh, praise the Lord. That promise was made. And it tells us here in Galatians. Oh, if we are Christ's, looking at the 29th verse here, then are we Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Oh, do you see how this all works together? That, oh, God made that promise to Abraham that his seed, oh, and we know, yes, God brought it together. It wouldn't be just one race of people, they would be all those that call upon the name of the Lord. Oh yes, they come to him in faith and repent of their sins, are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and are filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise the Lord, there's that promise that we would be joint heirs with Christ. So it says in verse 27 here in Galatians 3, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. He brought us together, Jew and Gentile, bond and free, male and female, so that we could all be the seed of Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, and it explains, and if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Oh, praise the Lord. I thank God. What a privilege we have to serve the living God, to be his sons and daughters. Oh, yes, to be bought with that price. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise our mighty God. Oh, praise the Lord. And going to Hebrews, the 11th chapter, we had been speaking of Abraham, and yes, the faith that he showed. Oh, yes, and obeying the voice of God, and oh, being willing to do the thing that seemed extremely difficult. Tells us in Hebrews 11, chapter, verse 17. It says, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, this temptation that we just spoke of there in Genesis 22, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Oh, that had to be so strange and confusing. You know, how could you make sense of that? God had promised him that son, and yes, that son was born to him when he was 100 years old and his wife 90, and you know, it was promised, it was his only begotten son. And what all sense did this make, that which God had asked him to do? But he did it by faith. Faith carries us through, you know, even through these times when we don't see, we don't understand, we don't know. Oh, it might be like we're, you know, we're just walking almost blindly in a certain way. But as Abraham, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. But it tells us in verse 19, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. See, there was a faith in their heart, that they knew, that he knew, that, you know, regardless, even if he had to slay his only beloved son, his only son, that God would raise him from the dead. And so it is as a foreshadowing of what Jesus Christ did. Oh yes, God, in offering his only son upon the cross. But I praise the Lord, you know, that body, Jesus Christ's body, was not corruptible, because there was no sin to cause corruption, and death could not hold that body down. Oh, praise the Lord, God raised Jesus from the dead. Oh, yes, and so it shall be. One day he will raise those that are dead from their graves. Oh, yes. And even more so, how he has called us. Oh, yes, from the deadness of our past, the deadness of sin, he's called us out of the world. Oh, yes, that he might raise us up. Oh, yes, that we could sit in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Oh, yes, that we could be his adopted sons and daughters. Oh, yes, so that we could know him as Lord and God. Oh, yes, so that we could reign with him forever. Oh, yes, in that promised place that he has reserved for those that love him. Oh, we thank God. What a wonderful thing. But see, that faith that God put in the heart of Abraham, the same faith that he puts within us. Oh yes, because like faithful Abraham, we are looking for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Oh yes, that's what we're really striving for. That's what we're really looking for. Things down here are temporal. Oh, things will vanish away in this world. We're here for just a few moments. Our life is but a vapor. We're, you know, we're as the grass that faded, the flower that's, you know, beautiful one minute and dead the next. But we have hope in Jesus Christ. And praise the Lord, He's made a way that we can endure temptation. Oh, that we can have victory over the world. Oh, yes. Over sin, over all the things that try to attempt to bring us down and to hinder us, to clobber us over the head. But praise the Lord, God has given us of His Spirit. When He gave us the Holy Ghost, He gave us that strengthening, anointing power of God. Oh yes, that power to witness, the power to triumph over sin. Oh yes, that power to have victory in the Lord Jesus. And that power to rise above the temptation, all the trials, the tests, the hard things in this world. Oh, to know in whom we have believed and be persuaded that He is able to keep that which we have committed unto Him against that day. Oh, we can know that in our heart. As it says in James, that first chapter, verse 12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love Him. Oh, that crown of life, oh, yes, that He offers for us. Oh, praise the Lord. Going to one more scripture here. 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, verse 13. Yes, it is written here, verse 13. 1 Corinthians 10. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Oh, praise the Lord. The Lord is not going to clobber us in such a way that it would be more than we could possibly endure. But He is going to make a way for us. He has promised to make a way for us. Oh yes, that He would be there to deliver us, to strengthen us, to help us, to secure us in everything, every test, every trial, everything that would come upon us. So we can say, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Oh, I praise the Lord. You know, the plan of God, oh yes, is one that will take us on to heaven. Oh yes, the one that helps us, oh, in our desperate needs, oh yes, so that we can come boldly before that throne of grace to find mercy and help in the time of need. Oh yes, oh yes, what other king would allow us to come right before His throne? You know, oh, we'd have to make appointments and maybe spend days and days before we could come before an earthly king. But oh, praise the Lord, we have a Savior. Oh yes, they made a way that we could come to Him at any time and moment, knowing that He is there, that He is faithful, that He, oh yes, has understanding, and that He loves us. Oh yes, and that He knows how to answer our needs. He knows how to make a way for us. Oh yes, and that He's never going to give us something that we're not able to bear, but He's always going to make a way of escape. And praise the Lord, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love Him. Oh, praise the Lord, that's our hope. Oh, yes, that hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I pray that you would, oh, yes, work in us. Give us that hope, O Lord. O God, give us that endurance. O God, make us fit for thy kingdom. O Lord, give us that kind of faith so we can believe you. O God, regardless of any test or trial, Lord, that we can put our life in your hands. O Lord, knowing that you're right there right now to deliver us from anything, O Lord. O God, that would try to bring us down. O God, you are there, O Lord, for we can rest in thy promises. For with all your stripes we are healed. O Lord, O God, you died to save us from sin, death, and hell. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. We can rest in his promises. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise our God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we love you, Jesus. Praise God. Oh, thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Jesus, praise your name. Thank you, God. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord. In closing, we are going to open our hymnals to number 178 and sing Where He Leads, I'll Follow, number 178. Promises, kind is the word, dear far than any message man ever heard. Pure was the mind of Christ, sinless I see. He a great example is and pattern for me. Where he leads all
Thank you, Lord.